Suns, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the November 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's Election Day here in the United States, and many people are on their way to local polling places to cast their votes on local issues, along with their preference for candidates for their representatives in the U.S. Congress. This is the first election since Donald Trump received more electoral votes than Hillary Clinton 2 years ago. Many election observers and political pundits are wondering if the Democrats can win enough seats in the House of Representatives to take control of that legislative body, and how the makeup of the U.S. Senate might be changed after today's votes are counted. The Associated Press has this report on what's at stake in this year's election.
For 2 years, Democrats have been gearing up for this, a chance to end the GOP's hold on power here in the nation's capital and send the president a message that his divisive ways are not helping.
Even though I'm not on the ballot, in a certain way I am on the ballot.
In his final campaign blitz, the president said he's confident the GOP will do well, but there are indications Democrats may seize control of at least one chamber of Congress. They need to win 24 seats to take the House. The Senate, though, is an unlikely prize, with Democrats defending seats in strongly pro-Trump states. Sagar Magani, Washington.
It's the one day of the year that we usually hear political correspondents using the terms we normally hear on sports reports. We'll hear things all day long like horse race, early lead, comeback, and playing field. One of the major issues at the intersection of sports and politics here in the United States is the legalization of sports betting at casinos outside of Las Vegas. In 6 states, voters will have a hand in deciding measures related to gambling of some form today. A story from Forbes magazine points to votes in the southern U.S. states of Arkansas and Louisiana. An issue in Arkansas, if passed, would allow sports betting at some notable horse racing tracks. In Louisiana, the question is focused on fantasy sports. If you don't know, fantasy sports started before the internet, when people decided to play season-long games, often for money, based on how baseball players performed over the course of the year. Now, with the advent of apps and the internet, it's easy for people to make bets on the performance of a combination of individual players during, for example, just one night of NBA action. Other states, including Ohio, Michigan, and California, have individual politicians on the ballot who have either supported or opposed sports gambling. We'll see how those issues and candidates fare over the next 24 hours. Coming up after this, we'll have more Election Day coverage with a look at some candidates for office who just happen to have made the sports fields of the United States their first places of work. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm Dan Friedel, and we're back here on the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More on today's election. Anthony Gonzalez was an outstanding football receiver for the Ohio State University Buckeyes, and he was the first-round draft pick of the Indianapolis Colts of the NFL. He expected to have a long career, catching passes starting in 2007 from the legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. He's running as a Republican for the U.S. House of Representatives in a district just south and west of Cleveland in Ohio. Gonzalez's career was derailed by multiple injuries, and he wound up retiring after just 5 seasons with only 99 catches. Another notable athlete is Adam Greenberg, who had a short stint as a Major League Baseball outfielder. Greenberg was a good prospect, and when he finally got called up to the big leagues by the Chicago Cubs, he was hit in the head by a pitch and never really recovered to the level at which he had once played. Greenberg continued playing in the minor leagues before getting a one-day contract for the Miami Marlins to get one at-bat before retiring in 2014. He's running to be a representative in the state senate in the eastern U.S. state of Connecticut. We recently talked about the World Series here on the Sunny Side of Sports, and it turns out that one World Series winner from the 1980s is involved in local politics in Jackson County, Missouri. Frank White was an all-star second baseman 5 times for the Kansas City Royals, and he's running for re-election as a county executive in Missouri. Another notable candidate is Colin Allred, who was a linebacker in the National Football League for the Tennessee Titans. The 35-year-old is running as a Democrat for the House of Representatives, the seat that represents the 32nd Congressional District in Texas. Allred went to Baylor University, and after he retired from the NFL, he worked as a lawyer for the Obama administration. The district covers an area northeast of Dallas, Texas. One political prediction site calls the race a toss-up. See, there's another gaming term which has to do with the random toss of a coin. We'll update you on those races in our show tomorrow. I hope you'll join us then. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're joined now by my colleague Gwen Uten, who is following some developing Olympic news related to gymnastics in the United States. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Hey there, Dan. The United States Olympic Committee, or USOC, has begun proceedings to revoke the status of USA Gymnastics as the national governing body for the sport. Sarah Hyland, the CEO of the U.S. Olympic Committee, made the announcement in an open letter to the gymnastics community, writing, quote, "You deserve better." According to Hyland, the USOC is acting now because they believe the challenges that face USA Gymnastics is more than they are capable of overcoming. The move comes as the USOC tries to recover from arguably the worst sex abuse scandal in sports history. Earlier this year, more than 150 women and girls came forward to testify that they were sexually abused by their former team doctor, Larry Nassar. Nassar admitted in court that he used his profession to sexually abuse the girls under the guise of medical treatment and was sentenced to up to 175 years in prison. Carrie Perry is the president and chief executive officer with USA Gymnastics. She spoke at a congressional hearing to address the pattern of sexual misconduct within the U.S. Olympic Committee and her governing body's failure to protect its athletes.
First, I want to apologize to all who were harmed by the horrific acts of Larry Nassar. I was in the courtroom to listen to the incredibly courageous women explain in vivid and painful detail the damage he did to their lives.
Larry Probst, the current chairman of the USOC, says his organization has failed its athletes, but investigations will continue.
The USOC has commissioned an independent investigation that will help us understand who knew what about Nassar's abuse, when, and what they did with that information. We will take appropriate action based on the findings of that independent investigation. The moment of reckoning that we are experiencing in the United States is extremely painful on many levels, and most especially for the women involved. We owe everyone a thorough, thoughtful, and transparent independent investigation, and that is precisely what will occur.
The announcement comes days after the U.S. women's team took home 9 medals from the World Championships in Qatar. 5 of those medals were won by Olympic champion Simone Biles, an outspoken critic of USA Gymnastics. Stripping the governing body of its status could leave a void that won't easily be filled. USA Gymnastics serves more than 150,000 athletes in 3,000 clubs around the country. However, many in the gymnastics community are thankful the USOC has taken steps to decertify USA Gymnastics, calling it long overdue. And that's all from me. I'll hand it back over to you, Dan.
Thanks for that report, Gwen. We'll have more on that story shortly. I'm Dan Friedell, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Dan Friedell, and we're joined now by Cindy Boren, a sports writer for The Washington Post here in Washington, D.C. Hi, Cindy, and thanks for spending some time with us on The Sunny Side of Sports.
My pleasure to join you today.
Cindy, we spent some time on yesterday's show recapping the results of the New York City Marathon, which took place on Sunday. We heard some audio from the winners, Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia, who covered the 26.2-mile course in 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 59 seconds. We also heard from Mary Kitani, who won her 4th New York City Marathon with a time of 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 48 seconds. Of course, I'm really proud that the other day I ran 4 miles in 39 and a half minutes, so I can appreciate how fast they're actually running. So Cindy,
I drove it the other day in about the same time. So, you know, I can understand that.
As somebody who's followed the New York City Marathon, can you give us, our listeners, a sense of the magnitude of the event from the combination of seeing the runners take the start and cross the Verrazano Narrows Bridge to going through the caverns created by the high-rise buildings of Manhattan to finishing in Central Park? So what's it like to see all these people running, and where do you think New York ranks on the world marathon calendar?
Well, as a former New Yorker, I can tell you that one of the great days on the calendar each year is the New York City Marathon. The race winds through the 5 boroughs, starts in Staten Island, ends at Central Park, and it's just wonderful. People turn out to line the whole route. They're cheering people. They're holding up signs for their various friends. It's just such an overwhelmingly wonderful feeling. And that's true of all the races, you know, all the distance races, the marathon races here in America. It's true of certainly the highest profile race, the Boston Marathon, which was one reason that the bombing was just so incredibly shocking. You know, it's this day of a celebration of the city and running and athleticism and amateurs. And, you know, the Boston Marathon is the preeminent one. New York City is right up there. Certainly Chicago is too as well now. Los Angeles is highly ranked, but, you know, it's the East Coast and Chicago marathons that get the attention. And, you know, they've been around for so long, and they have the money. You know, the various road racing clubs have the money to bring in the top-ranked athletes. And, you know, it draws a stellar crowd of competitors. And then, you know, ordinary Joes like you and me in my car.
So I saw a story that said the marathon continues to break its own record for the marathon that has the most finishers. There were 52,812 finishers on Sunday. It's something that regular people decide to do. We see a lot of celebrities target the New York Marathon for their first marathon. What do you think it is about the atmosphere in New York City that makes it such a draw?
Well, it's, you know, it falls at a good time on the calendar. It's usually cooler. You know, so many of celebrities live in New York that it makes it more convenient. I'm not sure exactly how you train in New York, but I guess, you know, my friends go for long runs in Central Park and Brooklyn and the Bronx. So, you know, it's a little more problematic just because of all the traffic and the roads, but, you know, people do it, and they come from all over, too. You know, they come from around the world to run New York City just as they do. You know, London is a huge draw, and, you know, they come from everywhere.
How about the improvements that we've seen recently on the American women's side in the professional ranks? This year, for example, we saw four American women in the top 10, led by Shalane Flanagan, Molly Huddle, and Des Linden. So are we in the middle of a golden age of American women's long distance running?
I'm not quite prepared to go that far with it, but we're certainly in the midst of a rapidly improving age. Of women runners. You know, Shalane Flanagan won the New York City Marathon. She was the first woman to win it in 40 years, I think it was, last year, the first American woman, to win the women's division in 40 years. And, you know, it says a lot that so many of them were in the top 10. That said, they were still a long way back from Mary Catani, who is, you know, the preeminent women's marathoner right now.
I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're talking about some current sports stories with Cindy Boren from The Washington Post. Cindy, earlier today, we talked a little bit about the election. Today is Election Day here in the United States.
Oh, yes, it is. No, I'm kidding. Of course.
Of course, we've been inundated with all the political ads for the last couple of months. And, you know, we know there's the conversation about whether the Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives. We see a lot of conversation around voting. People often say, you can't complain about the government if you don't vote. One public figure who's done his share of addressing national politics in the last 2 years is Steve Kerr, the head coach of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. The Warriors turned down an invitation to visit the White House after winning the NBA title. So Kerr talked about gun control recently after the shooting at a synagogue, which is a Jewish place of worship in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 2 weekends ago. Many of our listeners in Africa might only know Kerr as an NBA player from the 80s and 90s and currently as a coach. But why don't you explain why gun control is a big issue for Kerr and why he seems comfortable talking about political issues when athletes from his generation weren't so comfortable talking?
Well, Steve Kerr has the right to talk about gun control in a way that most people do not. The loss for him and his family was acute. His father, Malcolm, was the head of the American school in Beirut in the 1980s, and his family lived there. Now, Steve was in college at the time in Arizona, and his father was shot to death outside school in 1984. You know, that was a particularly violent time in Beirut, and his father is a gun casualty. So every time there is a shooting in the United States and every time there is a an opportunity to speak out and use his platform, Kerr is only too happy to do so. And he speaks very eloquently about it. He also is a very vocal critic of President Trump. It's no surprise, I think, that the Warriors were not planning to go to the White House, although President Trump sort of rescinded the invitation to him. I mean, you can sort of go two ways on who actually said first, the visit is off. But, this is a sport that is predominantly African-American, and they, you know, the players have been outspoken about Trump. They don't care for him. And Kerr has been right there, along with the coach of the San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich. They've both been very outspoken. So, you know, for Kerr, it's about more than just his dislike of Trump, his concern over the divisions in the country. He sees school shootings. He was vocal participant in March for Our Lives after the shooting at the Florida school. You know, this is very, very personal for him.
So, Cindy, we just heard a report before you joined us about the news coming out from the USOC and the possibility that they might move to decertify USA Gymnastics as the governing body for that sport. We also just heard about Simone Biles and her outstanding performance on the international stage. Where do you think things go from here if basically USA Gymnastics or whatever replaces that body has to start from scratch? Are we going to see a decline in the performance of American gymnasts in the future as a result?
I don't think so. I think that it's more a time of, you know, the athletes becoming more powerful and not remaining quiet. You know, they're going to speak up. They're going to be more active in sort of governing the sport and in having a say on what happens with USA Gymnastics. I'm kind of surprised, honestly, that it's taken this long to get around to raising the question about, you know, maybe USA Gymnastics isn't the way to go here. Maybe there needs to be a different organization. You know, certainly USA Gymnastics as a brand has been tainted by this scandal. So, you know, maybe they need something else, certainly a differently named organization.
I think that makes sense. One thing that you wrote about recently over the weekend, there was a college football game on Saturday in the U.S. state of New York, where the West Point is located. That's where trainees and students who hope to become Army officers go to college. They were playing their annual game against the Air Force Academy. There was a story that the Air Force Falcon was kidnapped and injured. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about this story and what happened to the Falcon and why?
Well, the service academies have mascots. Navy has GOAT. And the Air Force has these falcons, and they are, you know, they are dangerous birds. They have long talons. Falconry is an actual science. It's something that they study at the university. They have several falcons, and they bring them to the games. And at times, the falcons take off. I think there was a bowl game about 20 years ago, and one of the falcons just took off and disappeared, but came back eventually. But, you know, this is one of the customs that they have. It's kind of an odd one, if you ask me. And schools, I think this is also odd, like to prank one another. The GOAT, Navy's GOAT, has been kidnapped before. And a couple of Army cadets at the U.S. Military Academy took one of the Falcons. Two Falcons travel with the team, and their handlers, there are cadets at the Air Force Academy that handle them, and they took the birds from where they were staying, which was the home of one of the Army colonels, and covered them with a sweater and put them in a dog crate and took them. Now, you know, this is hazing. I don't know, some would say it's good, clean college.
It's a prank that went wrong. Yeah. Cindy,
yeah.
I think we have to wrap up. Thank you so much for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports. That wraps up the November 6th edition of the show. Thanks to my producer, Bill Werkinger, and engineer, Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedell, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Americans vote in the U.S. midterm elections on November 6th. We'll examine what the results mean for America's domestic and foreign policy, particularly as they relate to Africa and Africans. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
The authors of a new study published in the American Journal of Public Health have set out to dispel what they call myths surrounding other recent studies that suggest sitting for long periods of time now provides the same health risks as smoking. While study authors say they do agree that excessive sitting, roughly more than 8 hours a day, can increase the risk of premature death and some chronic diseases by 10 to 20%, it doesn't even come close to the hazards associated with smoking. The new study proposes that there is an approximately 180% increased risk of death of any cause from smoking. Terry Boyle, an epidemiologist from the University of South Australia and one of the study's authors, says the simple fact is smoking is one of the greatest public health disasters of the past century. Sitting is not, and you really can't compare the two. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.